Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Consultant, obstetrician and gynaecologist Professor Shane Higgins from the National Maternity Hospital is with me in studio today to answer all of your maternity and fertility questions. Shane, how's things?
Good, thanks, Andrea.
Good. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have questions for Shane today. We spend the majority of our time during this conversation every week, Shane, talking about all of the different things that the women need to do, have to do, should do, shouldn't do in terms of their pregnancy journey. You're here today to talk about the partners, though.
Yeah. Often forgotten.
Yeah.
But very important. And there's not that much written about the partner's role in pregnancy. And I use the term pregnancy because it's not just about labour. I see partners now, and I've seen it over my career more and more, that they're involved really from the word go. They come to all the antenatal visits. They're as excited about the scans. They really take an active part. They participate in the classes that patients do. So they really are more and more involved. And I think that's a good thing. Mm. I think it's a great thing, in fact. But they have a pivotal role to play in and around labour and delivery. They really are there as perhaps the most important support person to the patient in labour. They know them best. Mm-hmm. And they're there to provide physical support. If they're looking to move around the room, they're there to provide emotional, psychological support, which is crucial. But they're also there to advocate on behalf of the patient. Sometimes the patient might be distressed with pains, and who better to advocate for them than their partner? And I think that's a critical role that's often forgotten. And it doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be adversarial. It should be working with the team, but being able to speak on behalf of the patient, ask questions on behalf of the patient. And I think that's an ever increasingly important role for them to play.
What questions should they be asking?
Well, I suppose I always say to my patients, I said, do not be afraid to ask questions. Do not be afraid to ask, why are we doing this? Is there an alternative?
Yeah.
Do we have to do it now? Because sometimes...
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Absolutely. And as I said, it doesn't have to be adversarial, and it won't be taken as adversarial if you ask a simple question like, what are we doing now? Mm. And it's not like you're speaking on behalf of the patient. You're speaking with the patient.
Yeah.
You're an advocate.
From talking to friends of mine, the partners of, say, of friends of mine who've had kids, they'll often say they felt totally overwhelmed and actually very intimidated, even about asking anything at all. They didn't want to be annoying the midwife or the consultant during the delivery. They have enough to be doing. Leave them at it. Won't ask queries.
Yeah, and look, I think one of the worst things that can happen is for a couple to come away from a birthing experience, which is meant to be positive, which is meant to be empowering, and say, gosh, I wish I'd asked that, or I wish I'd said this, or I wish I'd spoken up. Nobody will take offence from a question. Nobody will take offence from you asking on behalf of your partner, why are we doing this, or what are the alternatives? And I think it's very important that couples and partners are involved enough to know that they can do that really from as early on as they can.
The questions are coming in. I'll get to them in a moment. It's 087 1400 106. Just to say as well, the partners don't necessarily, it doesn't have to mean you're the husband.
No,
or,
of course not. If it's a same-sex relationship,
yeah.
It can be a sister,
yeah.
It can be a mother, and they're often, and again, there's often, not often, but occasionally somebody called a doula is brought in by the patient who is there again to provide that psychological support. But I think the best person to be doing that is your partner.
What are the common mistakes you see in the delivery room that the partners make?
Fainting.
Right.
No.
It's very rare.
Yeah, no, there's no, I don't think they make any mistakes.
But they could do more, I take from what you're saying.
Yeah, but I think it's a very dynamic situation, a very fluid situation. Sometimes if they're too overbearing, the patient who's in labour gets kind of suffocated, and they're trying to push them away. So read the body language, read the cues, provide them with fluids when they want to take a sip of water, a cold compress, hold a hand, but you know, be there for them emotionally, psychologically.
Is there anything they should bring with them?
Well, patients can eat in labour, so it's not something that they have to avoid, and they can also drink. So if they want, I mean, frequently I'll see partners bringing coffees into their patients, because we've got a lovely coffee shop across the road now from the National Maternity Hospital. So they bring them coffees or a pastry. But you should typically stick to kind of fluids, bland enough food in labour, because labour can go on for 8, 10, 12 hours. So It's not something that happens quickly. So you need to maintain your nutritional status in labour. So that's what the partner's there for, amongst many other things.
Okay, right. Well, the partners are getting in touch. My partner is 7.5 months pregnant at the moment, Shane, and everything I do annoys her. Help.
Oh, I wish I could. Look, I think there's a lot of emotion in pregnancy. There's a lot of stress. There's fatigue. There's the pelvic arthropathy, the pelvic pain. So it's not a comfortable state for anyone to be in. So be patient. Be supportive. I mean, that's really all I can do. All I can say, help out more than you perhaps normally would. Speaking as a husband. Mm. But that's pretty much about it, really.
Listener says they felt utterly useless when my first child was born. Yeah. Is there anything I can now do as a father to be more involved in those initial couple of weeks?
After the birth?
Yeah.
Look, I think going to the classes, which will include sort of parenting classes, what to do when the baby's born, I think experience is paramount. Having done it once, you will remember what to do. You'll know what not to do. And I think that's key going into a second pregnancy. I do think sometimes, though, the role of the partner is a very difficult one. You sometimes seem powerless or feel powerless in the room because, you know, there's a lot happening around you. And particularly if there's an instrumental delivery or an emergency cesarean section, it can be a very intimidating environment for somebody to see that their loved one is being taken away for a cesarean section. And what should they do? Again, maintain that role of support, hand-holding, being there for your partner, asking questions that you think are relevant, not getting in the way, but not staying out of the way. You should be there for the birth. You should want to be there for the birth. And that's what you should be doing.
Listeners wondering, can she get a bed set up for her boyfriend when she's in labour, or will he have to stand or sit?
In our delivery rooms, there's a reclining chair and other normal chairs. So, the partner doesn't set up a bed, but there's ample opportunity to sit in many shapes or forms in the room for partners.
He won't have to stand for the whole thing.
No,
he probably shouldn't fall asleep during it, I suppose, either.
God help the poor guy. No, well, they sometimes do, but...
Yeah, my husband has a big cycling trip that he goes on every year with friends, Shane, says this texter. I'm going to be nearly 8 months pregnant when it's planned. Am I right to tell him not to go? He's going to be gone for 10 days.
Well, there's a bit of a judgment call, and I don't want that person coming back to me in 2 months' time saying, they gave me the wrong advice there. If it's your first labour, the chances are you're going to go to your due date and probably over, unless there's a clear clinical indication to deliver you early. So if you're at 8 months or, say, 36 weeks, there's no reason at all for him not to go on a trip like that. There's a small chance he may miss the birth of the baby, but it is only a small chance. And when couples ask me this, when should I stop travelling for work? Or when should we remain close to Dublin? 37, 38 weeks is plenty of time to do that.
To do that, yeah, okay. Should my partner attend all of the antenatal classes? He says he's going to be too busy with work.
Yeah, I think antenatal classes, they come in various shapes and sizes. So we have situations where the midwife will come to your home and do the whole antenatal education piece in the course of an afternoon. So if you want to organise it like that, it's doable. But yeah, I really do think it's important for the partner to come to as many, if not all, of the classes. Some of them and the courses that are run through the National Maternity Hospital will also involve a tour of the labour ward. So you'll come in with a group of other pregnant couples and you'll get a tour of the labour ward. So it becomes less intimidating in an environment when you arrive there. So I think these are very important things to do.
Especially if you arrive, you know, in a kind of a panic.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have thought it's the kind of thing you want to be figuring out on the day.
For sure. Absolutely.
Another listener wondering, the texter had kidney stones during their first pregnancy. It was absolutely horrendous. The pain was worse than labour itself. I got stents put in. I'm wondering, what are the chances of this happening again?
Well, if you're prone to developing kidney stones, then there's that risk of it happening again. If you'd be unlucky if it just suddenly reared its head again in a subsequent pregnancy. But yeah, it's a possibility. I had a patient recently who had a history of that, but thankfully they sailed through the second pregnancy without any problems whatsoever and required stents as well. So hopefully it won't happen again, but you can't be sure.
Yeah.
You could go and get an ultrasound scan done of your kidneys before you embark upon a second pregnancy to see if there's any evidence of sludge or stones there.
So that might help.
Yeah, well, yeah. It'll give you a fair idea as to whether you're likely to experience problems in the subsequent pregnancy or not.
Is it just the antenatal classes, that you mentioned the partner should go along to?
Well, there's also all the antenatal visits.
So yeah.
The visits through pregnancy where you come and you opportunity to ask questions. There will be some scans involved. There'll be the results of blood tests. So there's lots of things happening through the course of the pregnancy that the partner can certainly involve themselves in. And again, I encourage them because it makes you more and more part of the whole experience.
We're expecting a baby in the next couple of weeks. I'm just wondering if you could ask Shane, what sort of support will my partner, the mum, the new mum, need from me in those initial couple of days?
After the birth?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so depending on the type of birth that the that you have, you'll either be in hospital for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. So up to 5 days if it's a fairly uncomplicated birth and you have a cesarean section. So that's typically a little bit longer for patients who have a cesarean section. In the hospital, there's plenty of support there. There's the nurses, the midwives, who will provide a certain amount of care. There's healthcare assistants who can help out. So I suppose the initial 2 or 3 days, again, is a lot of psychological support. It's a very challenging time, lots of hormonal changes. You're trying to breastfeed, you're very uncomfortable, you're sore, you're taking painkillers. So there's a huge amount happening in those first few days. But in terms of the physical needs, they're probably not as great as they are when the patient goes home. For those first 2, 3, 4 weeks, it's very important that there's somebody with them to provide that. Again, I keep coming back to that emotional support, psychological support, because it's a very challenging time, apart at all from the physical elements of what you've gone through.
I think this might be from the partner. Do I need to learn specific breathing exercises for labour?
No. If the patient can do hypnobirthing, which is a breathing technique to help them cope with the pains, but the partner of the labouring patient doesn't need to do the classes. Yeah.
And listener just wondering, you know, it's her first child, we don't have any family nearby. Is the 2 weeks paternity leave enough? I'm not sure my job is going to give me any more, but should I try and take maybe some leave or something as well?
Yeah, I think again, depending on the type of birth, will have a greater or lesser impact on the physical needs and the physical supports required. But a minimum of 2 weeks, I would say. And parental leave or paternity leave or annual leave on top of that, if you can. I think spending those, and it's also very good for the partner to spend that time with the newborn baby as well, and that initial bonding experience. It's so important.
Shane Higgins, Professor Shane Higgins, consultant, obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million for joining us today to tell us about what the partner should do.
Pleasure.
During labour.
Email.
Of course.
Remember the route to the hospital, or plan a route to the hospital. Because of traffic, I won't say anything else about bus lanes, but you know what I mean.
Right, yeah, and parking as well. I suppose no harm knowing where that is.
Parking app on your phone.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. If you want to listen back to any of our other chats, conversations with Shane, maternity, fertility queries, they're all available on the Go Loud app. You can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.